It is a joy to be with you today. I bring you greetings from the Presbytery of Philadelphia. Thank you for inviting me to be with you in worship. Listen now to this reading from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. Hear now the word of the Lord. They came to Jericho. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he's calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. This is the word of the Lord. A crowd gathers around Jesus and his disciples, milling around. As Jesus and his friends leave Jericho, they're on their way to Jerusalem. Jesus is on his way out of town. Think of that moment when you're rushing out the door on a trip, running in to grab last-minute things, jumping in the car. They're heading out. And just then, a man who is blind, sitting on the side of the road, who somehow missed Jesus' whole visit to Jericho until now, he calls out, "Jesus, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And even though he's hushed by those around him, Bartimaeus, he calls all the louder until Jesus stops, distracted from everything else, and calls Bartimaeus forward, giving him his full attention, really seeing him. Jesus, distractible as always by someone in need, interrupts his journey for this man and asks him what he wants. Jesus, attentive as always, truly sees this man who's been ignored and then gives him his sight. Jesus, the most distractible. Jesus, the most attentive. Jesus pays attention. I'm a theology professor, and I teach a class called Attention and Leadership. In this class, we learn a definition of theology as paying attention to God and everything in its God-relatedness. That's a definition from theologians Charles Wood and Ellen Blue. Theology is paying attention to God and everything in its God-relatedness. And in this class, we learn how attention works, and then we practice paying attention to ourselves, to others, to the world around us, and to God. I try to make the case in this class that attention is central to our spiritual lives. I would like to try out a little practice with you that I use with my students that helps explain why attention matters for our spiritual lives. So you should have in your hand a piece of sea glass or a seashell. I want you to just glance at it for a moment and register how you feel about it. And now I'd like to invite you to take the next 30 seconds of silence and pay very close attention to this thing in your hand. Examine it, turn it over. What does it look like, feel like, smell like, sound like? I'll give you time to pay attention to it. And now I'd like to invite you to introduce your item to your neighbor. Tell them what is special or extraordinary about what you are holding. You can talk. Now, continuing to hold on to that item, reflect for a moment. How do you feel now about this thing you're holding? Perhaps you feel heightened curiosity or a little more interest. Maybe you like it more. Oftentimes, my students begin to give human names to the things they're holding. And then imagine that if, at the end of this service, if I said, you know, the ushers are going to come through and collect all those items, and they'll just throw them in a big pile at the back and just take any one you want when you leave. And when we do this with students, usually someone in that moment will blurt out, "No! It's mine!" When we pay attention to something, we begin to care more about it. Attention cultivates love. Attention cultivates love. I think this is what Proverbs is trying to get at when it paints a picture of these two women vying for our attention. Perhaps the author is imagining an ancient farmer's market or a busy market, an ancient shopping mall, where there are vendors on all sides calling to us. And over here there is Lady Wisdom. And Lady Wisdom is saying, "Come to me, come, eat this bread, drink this wine I have mixed." She's like that farmer's market vendor selling organic vegetables. "Oh, they're so good for you, and they're good for the earth. Come on over here, look at these." But over here on the other side is Lady Foolishness, and she's pulling us in another direction. She calls from her place, "You who are simple, turn in here. Take a sample of these delicious deep-fried candy bars. They taste so good, and they're so cheap. At least right now they are. Come on over. Come in here." Lady Wisdom and Lady Foolishness, they vie for our attention. And the key is, the one you pay attention to, that's the one you'll start to love. But attention is difficult. And we live in a really distracting world. As a teacher, I have to ban phones from the classroom because my students themselves admit if their phone is out, they cannot keep themselves from looking at it. More than once, I've been crossing campus looking at my own phone and glanced up to see something beautiful, fog resting on a tower, pigeons circling, or fall leaves turning colors, and I'm so struck by how beautiful it is, and I look around and I see every other person walking by me staring down at their phone, just missing it. We live in a world of distraction. And I'm also a mom to two young children. I know your dinners are perfectly civil, but at our table, I find myself trying to listen to a story that my husband is telling me while cutting grapes in half for our toddler who is yelling and throwing peas and trying to respond to inquiries and complaints from our five-year-old about how many vegetables he needs to eat in order to get dessert, and then getting up to get a sippy cup of milk, and then cleaning up the milk when it spills, and getting up again to let the cat in and let the cat out again, and responding to someone at the door. By just the end of dinner, I feel like my attention has been fed into a paper shredder and turned into confetti and dumped off a tall building. I can't pay attention to everything. Our lives are demanding. They are distracting. In the middle of all of this, we're called to pay attention to God. But attention to God is hard because God is invisible and rather courteous. And we're used to paying attention to things we can see and things that demand our attention. The poet Denise Levertov once wrote, "Lord, not you, it is I who am absent." She continues, "I stop to think about you, and my mind at once, like a minnow, darts away, darts into the shadows." She says, "Not for one second will myself hold still, but wanders anywhere, everywhere it can turn. Not you, it is I who am absent." So how? How do we learn to be present? How do we learn to pay attention to God? Well, I want to suggest that there are two ways forward here. The first is the path of what our tradition has long called contemplation. Contemplation, where we quiet ourselves. We remove distractions. We seek to hear God. And we see this modeled in Jesus by his prayer life. Jesus, who could have kept working all the time, retreated by himself to sit and pray alone. Attention to God, I often tell my students, is an endangered species. One of the main reasons that a species is endangered is habitat loss, where a creature has no more space to live and thrive. We cram our lives so full that we have practically eradicated any habitat for attention to God. There's no place on our calendar, no location in our lives where we meet God. And we pack even our in-between moments with distraction. I could pray walking between classes, and instead I check my phone. I could listen for God's guidance while I drive, and instead I blare the radio. I could fall asleep reflecting on my day before God, and instead I watch TV. I start each of my classes with a few moments of silent meditation, and my students often tell me it's the only time in the entire week when they sit quietly. And I know how they feel. If we want to pay attention to God, we'll carve out some spaces and times where we can be attentive. And in that space, we pray, we listen, we read scripture, we meditate, we breathe, and we reflect. It's the contemplative path. The second way I call the way of holy distraction. the way of holy distraction. Ordinary life just is demanding and distracting. If you're home taking care of kids, or you volunteer in your community, or you work a busy job, you just will be distracted. But there, in the midst of our distraction, God meets us in and through ordinary life. We meet God. We meet God in the longings of our own hearts, or in the messages that our bodies give us. We hear God in a story of a friend's recovery. God might invite us through the tug of a child on our sleeve, asking us to go see what he's made. We see God in the beauty of an early morning spider web laced with dew, or the flash of a fall leaf, or the sudden sweet memory of a loved one. We meet God in the call to care about those who are struggling, to help the neighbor who calls late at night with an emergency, to alleviate the suffering of those in Florida responding from the hurricane, to respond to the twin crises of poverty and violence in Chicago. God calls to us through the ordinary days of our lives. Jesus took time away to pray, but he also noticed God in ordinary life. Think of today's story. He turned aside from his journey to talk to someone who was calling for him. He made it a habit to stop and notice. To those around Jesus who were focused on moving on, I think, did he have an administrative assistant who was booking his appointments here? They must have been so frustrated, because everywhere he went, he stopped. He stopped to heal a girl who was sick. He stopped to heal a woman who touched his cloak. He stopped to raise a boy who had died. He stopped to talk to people who had questions for him. He stopped to chat with Zacchaeus, who was up in the tree. He stopped to notice the birds of the air and the flowers of the field. He was so distractible. But then once he was distracted, he was totally attentive, because he knew God was at work. We can't help being distracted sometimes. But we can ask, if I'm going to be distracted, if that's just part of life, then who or what do I want to be distracted by? What do I want to stop and notice in my life? Whom do I want to grow to love more? What would it look like for me to be distractible by the things that distracted Jesus? The more we do this, the more we turn our attention to God in the middle of ordinary life, the more we grow to love God. Because attention cultivates love. The way of contemplation, the way of holy distraction. The world won't become less distracting. So may we restore lost habitat in our lives for attention to God. And may we look up. May we look up when God calls us. May I be distracted like Jesus.